It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, time to talk about life in the great outdoors here in South Carolina. And who wouldn't want to be outdoors with this kind of weather today? It's supposed to be warm through the rest of the week. And we welcome in Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. If you have a question or comment for the Major, you can reach us through the phone lines, 888-898-2525, 888-898-2525, or you can send us a text message that we will relay to him. That line number is 803-900-4847, 803-900-4847. Welcome in, Major. I know it's beautiful outside and a great time to be outside, but you got some stuff on the inside that you want to talk about, though it is something you can do on the outside as well.
It absolutely is. It's great to be back on the show today. Nice warm weather, hopefully drying things out from the soaker we had last week. The cold weather that kind of followed along with it. But, yeah, great warm day. Spent the day today afternoon out with archers from high schools across South Carolina at our South Carolina Archery in the School State Tournament. Mm. So, big day for archers across the state. You know, for folks that don't know, in South Carolina we have an Archery in Schools program, which is a part of the school curriculum. It usually happens as part of physical education in public, private, and homeschools across the state. Currently, just a little bit of information about the program. We have around, I think we've had up to 700 schools in the program. I think 242 actually reported last year as far as being active. 28,000 archers involved in those reports with 439 teachers and instructors. So to be a teacher, if you are interested in having a team in your area, if you're listening to this and you want to do something with archery in schools or have archery in your school, contact DNR. First of all, you can contact Gus and also your local school board or school principal, headmaster, and let them know you'd like to get involved with archery in schools or your child to have the opportunity to do that. It's popular across the state. I mean, it's from the mountains to the sea in every school. So we're excited. Today is a big day. This is the day we give away about $50,000 in college scholarships to archers today, mostly graduating seniors. So this is a big pick-me-up. We have one young man today that won four separate scholarships.
Wow.
I think he totaled over $8,000 in scholarships that he walked away with just for shooting a bow today.
That's amazing.
So he was the top shooter, great archer, did a great job. And it's fun to watch the teams. Again, a lot of energy in it. It's kind of like watching it's not like watching football from the standpoint of the plays, but parents are sitting there with binoculars and they're watching the arrows and they're looking at the targets to see how their young person's doing or the child's doing or the high schooler's doing. Yesterday was elementary school. That's just a great day with a lot of kids. This program goes from 4th grade through 12th grade. Today was high school. Yesterday was elementary school. In elementary school, you've got kids there, their grandparents are there, their parents are there. In some cases, great-grandparents are watching, and they're really excited about it, and they have a good job. But again, the 4th grader and the 12th grader are shooting the exact same bow, and that's a really cool design by Matthew's Bow, the Genesis Bow, which goes for any age. Basically, it doesn't matter how far your draw length is. Mm-hmm. You can turn the bow up a certain amount of poundage, but the bow's the same bow, whether it's a 4th grader or a 12th grader, and depending on how far they bring it back, so how fast the arrow flies. So it's incredible to watch these young people out there shooting. But today, again, high schools from across the state, just a couple. For the scoreboard today, we have two tournaments. We have a bullseye tournament, which is typically your circle you see with the yellow, red, black, blue lines in that bow. Today, our top three schools came in first for bullseye. First place was a home school called the Velo Storm out of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They took first. They had 182 arrows in the 10 ring, 129 in the 9 ring. Whitenow High School took second from Lexington. They had 140 arrows in the 10 ring and 160 in the 9 ring. That's tight. That's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fort Dorchester was in third from North Charleston, and they had 149 in the 10 ring and 134 in the 9 ring. So the 10 ring's basically the bullseye.
Yeah.
And then you've got the 9 ring was the circle right outside of that. So doing really well there. Those kids just shot incredible today. And then we have a 3D tournament as well. So that is where we start. It's kind of a transition or a nod toward hunting a little bit in that they're shooting 3D animals. So it's a little bit more exciting than just shooting a red, yellow, red, and black target. It's a little bit more than that. It's actually a deer, a 3D deer. It may be a 3D coyote, a turkey, a bear. So it's kind of cool. They get to shoot those different animals. The target, again, your 10 ring's the same size, but it's on an animal that can be the size of a turkey. So it's the same size target area you're trying to reach for, but you don't have as much room for error as you do on a big target. So in the 3D realm, first place was Whitenow High School. They had 95 in the 10 ring, 66 in the 9. Second place was River Bluff High School, from Lexington, with 102 in the 10 ring, 47 in the 9 ring. And third place, again, from Simpsonville, the Velos Storm, which is a home school. Again, we have all sorts of schools. We have public schools, private schools, and home schools that shoot archery in schools across the state. And again, typically during PE. So today was a great day. Scholarships again. $50,000 in scholarships for shooting a bow for a couple weeks in school is pretty cool. For us, it's an opportunity to have young people participate in shooting sports that's not a consumptive shooting sport. It's not loud. It's not a big bang. It doesn't take you having to be an athletic person either. So it's interesting. Of course, athletes are athletes are athletes. It doesn't matter. If you're a good athlete, you're going to be a good athlete. But in this realm with archery, you don't have to be good at baseball, football, basketball. You can be terrible at it, and you can be a great archer. It doesn't take a whole lot of strength. So it's great for any young person. Again, that's why they go from fourth grade to 12th grade. But these 12th graders, they're good shooters. I mean, they're shooting a circle that's literally about 3 to 4 inches around, and they're getting all the arrows in that, stacking in there. They only get, 10 shots. And they get 30 shots total each time. And they're shooting at the 10, 15, 25, 15 meter, 10 meter. It's a pretty good skill to watch them do that. So, again, that was today. Tomorrow, middle school, and we'll get through that tomorrow. And that'll be the end of our tournament for this year's at the Estate Fairgrounds. Always exciting. But, again, archery doesn't take a whole – you don't have to be a strong young person. You don't have to be, super talented football, baseball, basketball, the big triunes there. You can just be a regular person and come in there and shoot archery. And we've had some really good shooters, both male and female. Years ago with the archery got really popular with some movies that came through. And we saw a rise in popularity with archery. And it's kind of waned a little bit as far as, during COVID it was hard because we weren't doing anything inside hardly. Archery's coming back. It can be done outside, like you said, Phil, but typically this is done inside in the gymnasium. The nets are hung from basketball goals, basically, on the side. You can do this inside of a gym safely, and it's done across the state. It's been done now for 20 years we've been doing this program. So pretty cool how far the program's come.
I can remember you and I going to the event in Sumter.
Right.
And watching it and doing the show from there, I believe. And it was pretty impressive watching these young folks, standing there and the speed at which those arrows fly and hitting the bullseye or hitting the nine circle, whatever the case may be, and just how many. The thing was the volume of young people that you had at all different ages in that arena competing. And so now you've moved it to the state fairgrounds, a little more centrally located, but not that much. But did you need more room? Did they need a bigger building in which to handle this?
Absolutely. We needed a bigger building. So we're using the Canny building to be able to spread out and have more lanes. Absolutely. So it allows more young people to participate in the state tournament. And we got so big, we had to kind of open it up for a little bit more. Allows us to get it done in a little bit better time because you can shoot more shooters.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd stayed at Sumter, a little bit smaller facility, you start getting longer in the day. And you're trying to get people back on the road safely. But yes, it's been a highly successful program. Again, started around 2006, so it's been 20 years now we've had archery in the schools. And we've got, like I said, 700 schools that participate in the program, currently 242 active. Like I said, you know, COVID took a little hit with activities in school, and we're growing back from that. So, again, been tremendously successful. Was excited to see young people across the state, and they get excited, the cheers. And tomorrow will be even, but middle school really gets into it. And there's one team that brings a bobcat every year, a mounted bobcat, and that's their school mascot. And they all hold that up and cheer. So tomorrow will be a lot of loud voices, girls and boys, with a lot of excitement tomorrow.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. So I'm sure we've talked about this before. So how many of these youngsters who like to go out and hunt will do so using the bow and arrow style of hunting? Do you see a large number of the kids going out and doing that in the woods?
We did some programming where we did try to transition some kids if they wanted to try going from target archery to hunting. We did a little bit of that, and it's very intensive as far as the amount of time you put in to get somebody to learn how to shoot a little bit different bow, going from the compound bow that's the Genesis bow to something that has enough power to actually take an animal. It's a lot more power. But here's the point. In the end, it doesn't matter if they ever hunt at all. If they continue to participate in target archery and enjoy it, that's all that matters. It keeps them out of trouble. It keeps them, you know, in the outdoors. And the equipment they buy for archery goes back to help wildlife management in South Carolina. So it's just like firearms. You've heard us talk about firearms, but you may forget. We say, you know, all the money from the sale of firearms, ammunition, and archery equipment goes back into that Pittman Robertson Fund. So we support archery in any form, whether it's target archery, just like shooting. Target shooting doesn't have to be a hunter to help support wildlife management and to support hunter education in our state. So archery is important. Just having the kids enjoy it, enjoy a safe sport, and can compete. And again, it's kids at any level can compete in it. So it's really cool.
One more question. I'll let you move on to the next thing because I know you want to talk about what's going on outdoors and the fishing coming up with the weather turning warm. Is it an expensive, you know, a lot of things are expensive. Is this an expensive sport?
So here's the question. When you say, is it expensive? Think about it. What does it cost to play travel baseball? And everybody has a travel baseball. Everybody, it seems like everybody has a child playing travel baseball. So a Genesis bow, I was just looking it up right now to make sure, around $175, $200 for a Genesis bow.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a little cheaper than that bat that's out there everybody wants to get for softball or baseball. I know I've spent more than that on a bat for my daughter while she was playing travel softball. So, you know, you pay to play, so to speak, at any level. The one thing about the Genesis bow, it can follow them from fourth grade all the way to the 12th grade if they participate in the program. It's a one-time purchase. The arrows, you know, $20-$30 for some arrows, and they can shoot in the backyard with a simple target. It's really cheap from that standpoint. And again, so it's the price point I think is right. It's not like a firearm or something you have to go to a range to shoot. You can actually shoot the bow in the backyard, the Genesis bow particularly, because you're looking at 15 meters, which is, you know, what? It's less than 45 feet. Relatively small area you can shoot that Genesis bow safely. So pretty cool. But you're right. I do want to talk about with the warm weather today and the warm weather we're looking at coming around the corner here, fishing is going to start hitting hard. And I'm already hearing word of some folks that are doing well in Sparkleberry Swamp on some panfish, some crappie, and doing well the crappie bite picking up a little bit. Folks on the lake doing crappie as well. But if this warm weather keeps coming, you're going to see some brim start biting in the next week or two for sure as we approach. And I haven't looked when the full moon is next, and I'm going to do that. Let's see when the next full moon is, because that is when fish really get strong. Let's see, next full moon is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we're right here in it. So we're at the full moon. So next full moon will come April 1st. So as we get closer to the end of the month, April, right now, probably fishing doing well. But if it warms up a little bit more, it's going to get really good at the end of the month. But this warm days, it'll get some panfish starting to bed, particularly, you know, this time of year is when we see shell cracker really get popular. The shell cracker are really large brim that are pretty aggressive on a cricket or a worm. Just depends on what they're wanting to bite that day. But they are really good in some shallow areas on the lakes. Shell cracker this time of year on Lake Marion is a tremendous quarry for most people that want to fish. And early mornings, late evenings, typically when they bite best. And as this warm weather hits, we get in the 70s, that water starts to warm up just a little bit. That's going to start them fired up. Haven't heard any reports yet, but that's the first thing I look for with your bluegill bite to follow. And then folks that like to go in your backwater stream is going to be a little bit longer before redbreasts start biting. But that's kind of where we are on inshore as far as freshwater fishing this time of year as well. Near shore, inshore, you'll start seeing redfish tail in the flats right now. Your trout bite, flounder start coming back in, your sheephead start moving back on the structure inside and inshore.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, in the wintertime, a lot of fish go offshore to get out of that colder water, shallow water. As it starts warming up, they start coming in. That takes time for that water to warm up, a lot more time on the ocean than it does, or in your estuaries, than it does on a lake system, for instance. So it'll be a little bit longer before you really get some really good bite coming on, especially sheephead. They'll start coming up as it gets warmer in the next month or two. Flounder, same thing, really start picking up in the next month or two as well. But again, you know, folks know how to fish for sheephead and know how to fish for spot tail. This warmer weather gets you outside trying after them for sure.
Sounds like it. And, you know, they'll be dropping lines all over the place. Let me ask you this. We had some super cold weather, you know, for kind of an extended time. We had the snow and all that kind of stuff. So in any way, does that impact fishing in the state negatively? Like, I don't know, from a spawning standpoint or doing any sort of damage that people should be aware of that it's going to take a little bit of recovery time in that area?
So we do have what we call a cold water kill in salt water, particularly with our sea trout.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it on the show before, but typically that's when we get in the teens for multiple days and the harbor really gets hard. Your harbors get real cold. That's when you see some kill on some of your trout. Have not heard that report this year. We didn't have a lot of teens, you know, straight days. We did get some snow and all, but that was because we were in the 30s, 20s, upper 20s, 30s when we got snow. Didn't really have a hard freeze there. As far as your freshwater lake streams, no impact. Fish find the lower areas to get out of that cold water, and they're more cold tolerant than species like our speckled trout, sea trout. They are more susceptible to cold weather kill, and we've talked about that in the past. We really got some hard freezes and teens for, again, multiple days. Didn't see that this year, so I haven't heard of any kill-offs on our trout, so I expect to see trout bite be pretty good here this year in the next few weeks as it gets warmer in the next months to come.
Mm-hmm.
But again, right now, probably for most outdoor fishermen, it's crappie time, and it's also going to start being shell cracker time. That's coming around the corner. And the shell cracker are the red-eared sunfish. They are a beautiful trophy, and you can get some of those in the pound and a half size when they really start biting. And, again, they're a really aggressive fish. Typically, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 foot of water, you're going to find those next to reeds. And in my career, I've gotten to see some pretty cool beds just checking people around the lake. And when you see those things, and when you see the weeds around a tree start bumping, you can, or even the lily pads, you can see that lily pad bump where those fish are hitting it. So many fish in, around that bed when the – they start fanning out that bed and they start bumping there. You see those all those lily pads start bumping and it's kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
You got a pretty hot bed. And All you got to do on the lake is go around and look, and you'll see some, you know, 10 boats gather around a tree. Well, there's a reason why they gather around the tree. They're on a bed. So let's speak about that for a minute. We talk about it during duck season a lot about being, you know, being aware of space, staying out of someone's zone of fire. When it comes to fishing, people sometimes forget ethics and just good common sense. Look, if you're fishing on a tree and you're catching fish, it doesn't mean that somebody else can't come out to the other side of the tree and catch the same fish.
Mm-hmm.
They can. And typically, people will gather up around one bed, and they'll all fish the same bed. And sometimes people get snagged up with each other, and they get mad. You know, it's better just to kind of be patient. You know, I'm not encouraging anyone, if you see two or three boats around a tree, to go over there and make the fourth boat. That's not smart. You know, use some space. There's going to be more than that one bed around. You just got to find it. And inherently, sometimes people are lazy. They don't want to go look. They know there's a bed there because people gather around it. So they just want to stick the nose of the boat up in there, start fishing in the same spot. Try to space yourself out. There's nothing wrong with two or three people fishing in a bed. Just be aware of your space. Be aware of your rod, your hooks, those kind of things when you're around. Most people use short length line on that a lot of times with a brim buster to get and access those tight beds like that. But again, just be aware of people around you and give space to others. You know, find another bed, space out. You don't have to all crowd 5-6 boats around a bed. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And people get agitated. They get mad. Nobody owns it. Remember that. Nobody owns the bed. But use some good common sense. Space yourself out accordingly as brim beds, like your shellcracker beds, start getting hot. You know, try to find those beds, get there. You know, go early in the morning. Don't wait till a little late when everybody else has already got on the bed, you know, and you're the last person to arrive. You know, you need to find somewhere else to go. But some people just don't want to listen to that. Again, it's just a little bit of etiquette. Take your time. If somebody's already there, go somewhere else.
One more quick thing. We got about 2 minutes. Oysters,
yes, sir,
and shrimp. Oysters and shrimp. What kind of season are, yes, we looking at there?
So your shrimp season's not now. It comes up later in the fall. So shrimp's not in right now as far as bait for shrimp, those kind of things. And oysters, this is the time of year. Everybody seems to have an oyster roast in the spring or late winter, fall, February, March. So oysters, big thing about oysters is, can you go collect your own oysters in South Carolina? You can. I would suggest you know where you're going. Know the estuary you're going in. Make sure you get oysters that are from a reputable dealer. And that's an important piece on oysters. Get them from a reputable market so you're getting good, clean oysters. You don't want oysters coming from somewhere that may have been pulled out of the mud somewhere where they're not supposed to be fishing for oysters. It might be contaminated, whatever. Because remember, oysters are a filter. They're filtering the water. So if they're in a bad area, they're filtering the bad stuff out. So you want to make sure you get oysters from a reputable dealer. And that's just a big 2 cents to remember.
Very good. Very good. Well, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. We'll be getting close to the Sportsman's Classic. I know we'll be taking a look at that and some of the big plans you guys have for that coming up later on this month.
And we'll also talk about next time, we'll start talking about getting ready for turkey season, as that is just a few weeks around the corner. When the Classic comes, it's almost turkey season. So we'll go through some of the do's and don'ts. I've had some questions asked of me in the last week that I just want to share with folks. We'll share next time just how to prepare your fields, what's the legal way, what's the right way, what you can and can't do as far as turkey hunting. So we'll look forward to that next time.
All right, Major, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week, next week, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Thank you very much. Major Billy Downer, Department of Natural Resources, here on Sports Talk. SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. All right, Clemson's blown it open against Michigan State, 9-1, middle of the sixth for the Tigers as they play this game in Greenville. And let's see, Gaffney's homered for Clemson. Gerald's homered for Clemson. South Carolina in a tight one with Charleston Southern, 2-0. Ciccoli on the mound for the Gamecocks, 4 innings, 3 hits, struck out 2, so 2-0 there. And that will do it. Have a great night. We'll see you from the Classic in Georgetown tomorrow.